not guaranteed. XFi Advanced Security is available to Xfinity Internet customers with a compatible Xfinity XFi gateway.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show on this Think Rod is Friday. We'll get to your phone calls coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We've been talking about racism, and I raised the question, what is racism today? This is a word that is tossed around all the time, and joining us on our Newsmaker line right now is Edward Ring. Ed is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness. Ed, thanks for joining us. Ed, how would you define what racism is today?
Well, you know, there's a big difference between racism and what racism is today. And, of course, it depends on who you ask. But the Democratic Party has a strategy, which is to convince Americans that they're racist, that the whole country is racist, that the historical legacy of America is racist, and that the only thing we can do to fix this is perpetually make amends, right up into including reparations, for example.
Ed, what about, why do they have such a preoccupation with it? Is this just a political tool they're using?
Yes, it is a political tool they're using. I'm sure some of them believe it, but I don't think any of them believe it as much as their rhetoric would suggest that they believe it. But the Democratic Party, I think one of their core strategies is to increase the percentages of non-white voters by any means necessary, and then, and this is crucial, convince all of them that Republicans are racists.
Ed, what about the what happens someday? I mean, somebody can make a mistake and say something, not intentionally. Somebody, you know, we can do things. We're so nervous almost to do anything anymore because we'll be attacked as being a racist. Is that all part of the plan?
Well, it's one of the definitions of racism that is thrown around a lot by Democrats and liberals, and that would be, you know, the so-called unconscious racism. A lot of the time, these things that are classified as unconscious racism are, I think you would, most people would agree, they're awkward statements, but they're usually made with complete innocence. And other times they might be awkward statements that are truly rude, but you don't need a label, you don't need college departments formed and laws to regulate this. These are things that they earn corrective social sanctions without all of that. When people make rude remarks, they suffer social consequences.
Why doesn't a simple apology work in those cases, Ed? Someone makes a rude remark and they say, you know, I screwed up. I'm sorry for what I said. I shouldn't have said it. Why doesn't that work?
Well, it should work, but I suppose part of the reason it doesn't work is because people have been indoctrinated to believe that there's something bigger at work that really requires massive corrective action. And also, I think there's some opportunism here, because now that we have so many laws in place and sanctions in place, for example, in college where you can be expelled or suspended, people realize that they can exact revenge, or they could even get compensation by making something bigger out of something that really isn't that big of an offense.
Let's talk about some of the issues and some of the points that you bring up when it comes to racism. First of all, let's begin with institutional racism. Does that exist, and are we trying to deal with it, or how do we deal with it if, in fact, it exists?
Well, you know, slavery was institutional racism. Jim Crow laws were as well, and redlining. I think there's good evidence that that as well was institutional racism in history. But those things have been wiped out, and today I think the institutional racism, it's almost laughable because institutional racism nowadays is primarily directed against white people.
What about racial profiling? That word comes up often.
Well, you know, that again is something that's very convenient for liberals to point to, because they can correctly observe that we have more police stops, for example, and more people incarcerated who are non-white. But when you look at the FBI statistics, the data is unequivocal. The reason that we have more stops, the reason we have more incarcerations of non-white people as a percentage of their population, is because they commit more crimes. And you have to get to that. You have to ask yourself, why is that happening, not who's being prejudiced? When you have 1 million police officers in the United States, and we do, we have over 1 million sworn police officers, you're going to get a few bad apples. And when you have social media, you're going to see all of those fairly infrequent things blown up and turned viral and creating the perception that there's an epidemic, but there's not.
Yeah.
You know, even Michael Bloomberg was being very honest about this, and now they're trying to use it to destroy his campaign.
Well, let me ask you this, Ed, because you bring up a point. Are you being a racist or am I being a racist when I say, look it, more African-American men are arrested because they're committing more crimes? Is that being racist?
Well, it depends on who you ask, but I would say absolutely not. And I think it's time for everybody to, you know, try their best to make honest comments about these very sensitive issues without worrying and being deterred from making factual statements and exercising logic and compassion simply because they're worried about what people are going to say.
Yeah. You write about the fact that you feel Democrats are the party guilty of racial abuse. Explain that a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely, because when you look at what's happened to non-white communities as a result of welfare, which has destroyed the family, when you create an incentive for people to break up families and you compare that to the data on success in life, in all areas of life, based on intact families versus broken homes, you know, the data is so compelling that people who have, you know, grown up in communities where there's been this culture of dependency don't do as well in life because the culture of dependency is anti-family, essentially. And I think that that's what we have to confront, and I think that a lot of what's very encouraging, actually, is a lot of non-whites, a lot of black leaders are starting to be very outspoken about this, and they're starting to push back against this Democratic narrative that it's just racism. They're saying, well, actually, no, it's what you've done to our schools, it's what you've done to our families that's kept our communities down.
I'm glad you bring that up, Ed, because over the past few days, you've had a couple of African-American strategists who work for the Democratic Party. One of them, I'm thinking right now, is Van Jones, who's saying, look, Donald Trump is talking to the African-American community in real-life terms, and he's starting to make, you know, he's starting to make inroads there, and if the Democrats don't wake up to this, they may lose part of a very powerful constituency.
I think that looking at some of the polling, and we never know with polling, especially nowadays, but I think he's already done that. You know, there are polls that have, and several polls, have seen Trump's approval rating among African Americans over 30%. And I actually saw a poll that it peaked. It actually broke 40%.
Wow, wow.
Now, that's, I doubt that that's reflective of reality just yet. But there is potential for a complete shift, literally a realignment, a fundamental realignment, especially in the African-American community. But you can also go to the Mexican-American community and the Cuban-American community and see a lot of the same things happening.
On our Newsmaker line, that's Ed Ring. He is a senior fellow for American Greatness, wrote a terrific article about what is racism today. And talking about him, we've got charges of racism flying up on Utah's Capitol Hill today as well. And that story will develop as well over the weekend. All right, when we come back, it is Thank Rod It's Friday. And we'll talk about this comment that Rush Limbaugh made earlier this week, getting a lot of heat for making it from both sides of the political aisle. And we'll open up the phones to you because it is Thank Rod It's Friday. All